Hear now God's holy and perfect word, a powerful word. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him, that is Jesus, with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But as he, Jesus, was in the stern, asleep on the cushion, they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the sea and the winds ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" This past week, I read a news story online of Stephanie McClooney, and hundreds of volunteers were combing the seas and beaches, hoping to find a sign of where her husband, Brian McClooney, and his friend, Justin Walker, could be found. Brian and Justin had launched their 24-foot boat on August 16th in Port Canaveral for a day of fishing on the water, but they have not been seen since. Now, Stephanie was asked by the reporters if she had something to say, and this is what she said. "I know that ocean is large, but my God I serve is larger. He can change the winds and the waters at his command. I have faith." When a windstorm swept over a lake, a small little lake in Galilee, and the disciples were in a boat with Jesus, they panicked. They were in deep distress. And they cried to Jesus. They did turn to Jesus in their distress, but they didn't really know who he was. Storms, figuratively, will come into our lives. Maybe you're in the midst of some kind of storm right now. And I hope all of you turn to Jesus, crying out to him in your distress. But do you really know him? Do you have faith in him? Jesus wants us to see him as he really is and to move us from our natural fear in these storms. And he wants us to have this faith that is appropriate with his greatness, realizing who he really is, and then having a kind of fear, a reverential awe of knowing who he is and what he has done for us. I'd like to bring you into the boat as observers on this lake long ago, where Jesus and his disciples sailed off in Lake Galilee and they faced the storm, and how they learned something about Jesus that they never knew before. We want to see Jesus afresh today. We want to see him as he really is, to bring us out of our natural fear into this fullness of faith with a reverential fear, from fear to faith. So let's go to Lake Galilee. One day, on the western coast of Lake Galilee, and as I retell this story that we know very well, I'll bring in all the accounts from the three Gospels and bring in more details. But as that evening came, one day, there was a separation between the crowd. Jesus had been ministering to the crowd, preaching to the crowd, and he was bone tired. Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go across to the other side." 8 kilometers across that lake, to the other side, the land of the Gerasenes, where the next day he would meet that demoniac. And that was in his mind as they went into the boat and they sailed off, leaving the crowd, taking Jesus with him in the boat and other boats with him. But here the focus in this story is on Jesus in the boat with his disciples. And there in the lake came a great windstorm. This word here is actually seismic. It's a shaking of the waters. And that's when, even now today, storms come to that lake very suddenly with the cold wind coming from Mount Hermon, the peaks of Mount Hermon, sweeping down, rushing down onto the warm lake. And this lake that is surrounded by hills and cliffs on the eastern side, acting like a wind tunnel over this lake, picking up the waves and the winds howling. So we have these sudden squalls that come over this lake. A great windstorm, perhaps the fishermen had never seen before, with the waters breaking, as the waves breaking onto the boat, waters filling the boat, swamping the boat. These experienced fishermen disciples were panicking for their lives, distressed. Where was Jesus? He was in the back of the boat, in the stern, laying on a cushion. And this was the headrest of the boat. And these boats, actually bigger than perhaps we think of, it could fit about 15 fishermen. And they found one first century boat, about 26 and a half feet long, 7.5 feet wide, four and a half feet deep. That was a boat that has been found recently from the first century. And in this boat, Jesus was in the stern, sleeping. In the midst of the storm, he was fast asleep, having perfect peace, knowing that his Father was with him, while in contrast, the disciples panicking for their lives. They wake him up and say to him, "Teacher, Master, save us. Do you not care that we are perishing?" Jesus wakes up and stands before the winds and rebukes the wind and says to the sea, "Peace." The word peace is hush. Be still, be silent, be muzzled, and immediately the winds cease and the waters are still as a mirror, as a crystal on that lake. There's great calm. And he says to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid?" Knowing what was in their hearts, why were you doubting? You have still no faith in me? And they were filled, not with the kind of fear that they had in the storm, but now with a different kind of fear, an amazement, an awe at this man, saying, "Who then is this? What kind of man is this that even the wind and the waves obey him?" What was Jesus doing? Jesus, who knew, getting into that boat, crossing that lake, that he would bring that storm for the purpose of stilling it, to expose their lack of faith, their doubt in his care, for the purpose then of strengthening their faith, to see him as he really is. And when we see him as he really is, even in this account, in the boat, we will be moved from our fear to that faith in him, of who he really is, and with that kind of fear, of awe in him. So firstly, to see him as Jesus, God with us, as God with us. Jesus, who was there physically in the boat, fast asleep in the storm, fully present with them, but in more ways than just him physically. He was there with them as God. God's attribute of omnipresence, his presence in all places in creation, is what we're speaking of here. He was present, truly present with them. And it's more than just his creation. As an infinite being, it's beyond. He fills all in all as the omnipresent God. And yet, this omnipresent God, who is so infinite beyond our imagination, he is also very near. He is with his people, particularly with those that he cares for. And that's the confidence that we can have, as Jesus promised his disciples. Later to them, as he was leaving them, he says, "I will be with you, even to the end of the age." How is that possible, where Jesus is in heaven now to be with his disciples? And with us, it is by his Spirit that he is with us. For the disciples, they had Jesus physically and spiritually with them in the boat. And yet he was fast asleep. This is inexplicable. Jesus, who needed sleep for the ministry that was to come the next day, he needed to sleep. And yet, as God, he was fully awake, fully aware of their need, fully caring and watching over them. He's the God who never sleeps. He never slumbers, watching over his people. This is Jesus with his disciples in that boat. In counseling sessions, in counseling people yourself, you may have heard this before, where people recount storms in their lives, crises in their lives, and they ask this question: where was God when I needed him the most? Not realizing that God was there. God is there. Always he's there. That is his nature, to be there, especially to those who call upon him. When they need him, he is there caring for them. Isn't that the name given to Jesus? Emmanuel. Children, what does Emmanuel mean? It means God with us. God is with us at all times through Jesus Christ. Those who trust in him in a particular caring way. Now, what happens when we call upon him and he doesn't seem to answer us, like the disciples who were crying out, didn't seem to be getting an answer? Do we still trust that he is there and his answer is on the way? Do we trust him? This is the trust of the psalmist, King David, as he went to sleep. We have days that are like storms, and how are we going to sleep now? Well, David writes in Psalm 3, 5 to 6, "I lay down and slept, I woke again, for the Lord sustained me through another night." And with such confidence that he awakes, that he says, "I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who set themselves up against me all around." That's the kind of confidence he has when he goes to sleep, when he awakes. And then when he sleeps again, Psalm 4, 8, "In peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." Did Jesus not pray that prayer as he went to sleep in the boat? "I lay myself down in safety because God is with me." The sleep of King Jesus on that boat was a picture of perfect peace with the Father, with Him. Even in the raging storm all around, what a contrast with the distressed disciples as they were crying out. They needed to see that dimension that Jesus, God, was with them, but they also needed to see another dimension of Jesus. And this is it, the second dimension. Seeing that Jesus is Almighty God. That Jesus is Almighty God. Already, Jesus, in His ministry, had shown Himself to be Almighty, to be having all power, all authority, when He healed the sick, when He cast out the demons, when He was able to forgive sin. And now, to show His disciples that He was the creator of the heavens and the earth, able to control the winds and the waves. With the word, He stilled the storm. Psalm 89, verse 9 says, "You rule the raging of the sea with its waves rise. You still them." This is the Lord. And with the word, He actually is the one who brought the storm, isn't He? Psalm 29, verse 3, we sang that. "The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders, the Lord over many waters." In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, it says even more of this word of Jesus, that He upholds the universe, the entire universe, by the word of His power. The whole universe by His word. When Jesus said the word, "Peace be still," to the waves and the wind, they obeyed. He's Almighty God. They obeyed. Now, if you were in that boat, what would you be thinking? If you had just sung Psalm 107, would you not be thinking back to this psalm that they would know, these fishermen in the boat, these Hebrews, of fishermen who experienced this storm? And let me read these verses again that we just sang. And listen of who this is that they're speaking of, who calms the storm. "So these fishermen went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the great waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, His wondrous works in the deep. For He commanded and raised the stormy wind." He's the Lord who commands the wind, the storm, to come. "Who lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven. They went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and they staggered like drunken men and were at their wits' end. When they cried to the Lord in their distress, in their trouble, He delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still. And the waves of the sea were hushed." That's what Jesus did. "And then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and He brought them to the desired haven. Let them thank the Lord for His steadfast love, for His wondrous works to the children of man." Who is this man, they asked themselves, who commands the winds and the waves, and they obey Him? Who is this man? It is Yahweh. It is the Lord. He must be the Lord of Psalm 107. This is the Lord. And they are filled with great fear and awe and amazement that this is Yahweh in the boat with us. Who else can still the storm? We have weathermen today. We have meteorologists. And they can't do anything with the weather. All they do is observe the weather. They have their instruments, the temperature, the thermometer to gauge the temperature, the barometer to gauge the air pressure, anemometer to gauge the wind speed, and many other instruments. And they compile all this data to give us a forecast. And it's becoming more and more accurate. But they are not the ones who control the winds, the rain. They just observe. Jesus is the weather man. He's the God man. He's the one who brings the weather. He upholds the weather. He's the one that should make us in awe of him. And then again, the storms that he brings into our lives figuratively should show us that we are not God, that we are not in control of our lives as much as we try to control our lives. But when we remember who he is, that when the storms he brings into our lives, he is the one who calms our hearts and makes them to be calm and still in the midst of the storm, trusting in him. Why? How can we have that peace? It's because Jesus is the Almighty God. He is called El Shaddai, the Almighty One, the one who has all power in heaven and earth. His attribute of omnipotence speaks of his ability to do all things that is consistent with his nature. All things according to his will. In Jeremiah, he exclaims, chapter 32, verse 17, "Ah, sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you." When things are impossible with man, it is possible with God. He is able. It's impossible for us. It was impossible for the disciples to calm the storm when they come, to save ourselves. But we can cry out to him for salvation in our distress. They, as we need to see, that Jesus is the Savior who has the power to save in our storms and from our sins. I was told recently that there is a long-standing practice among people who live along a mountain in western Sudan called Darfur, that region of Darfur. The mountain's called Jebel Marra. And there are people living in isolation there. And I was told by people from that place that at some times of great distress for the people, like, for example, a drought, the villagers will leave the village and go to the mountain, and they will look up to the heavens, and they will cry out in unison, "Yahweh, Yahweh, help us." Now, these are Muslims. They're all Muslims, but somehow they heard of Yahweh from the Jews perhaps long ago, and they're crying out to the Lord of heaven and earth to help them in their distress. But these are people that don't know that he has a son, as a savior from their sins. And that's one of our great burdens, is to see the gospel go to Darfur, to Jebel Marra. But what about you? You know Yahweh as the Savior. Is he mighty to save you? Do you believe that? In all your sin? Is he mighty to save your children? If some of your children are rebellious, is he mighty to save? Is he mighty to save your loved ones? He is able. He is powerful. He is almighty to save. Zephaniah 3:17 says, "Yahweh is your God, there's the God in your midst, a mighty one to save." Do you believe that? That he is mighty. And by the word of his promise in Isaiah 59, verse 1, you can trust. When you think of the Lord's hand, it is not too short to save. And he hears. Isaiah says, his ear is not dull that it cannot hear. He's attentive to your cry. He's there listening, answering. And he's able to save from sin, from the storms of life as the Almighty God. And after all, Jesus himself experienced a storm of his life, figuratively, on the cross. He, on the cross, faced the storm of God's wrath upon him, taking that judgment, that punishment in our place. But as he died and was buried, he was not left there. He was raised from the dead, and he was placed at the right hand of power of God Almighty. And from that place of power, he is mighty to save by his Spirit. Today, that word of power is preached to you. The power to save. And Jesus knows, as that word comes to you, what is in your heart, the kind of faith that you have. And we'll see in the third place that he is the all-knowing God. He is God with us. He is Almighty God, and he's the all-knowing God. Jesus could see into the heart of his disciples. And he said to them, where is your faith? Do you still have no faith? There was a deficiency in their hearts. There was something lacking. And it was faith. Their faith was a little. Sounds like they were doubting as they said to Jesus in the storm, do you not care for us? Do you not care that we're going to die here? Where was their faith? In Jesus, right there in the boat with them to save them from the storm. Jesus knew all along. He knew it was in their hearts, just as he knows all things. He knows what is in our hearts. His knowledge is personal. He made us. And so he has an intimate knowledge of each and every one of us. He sees all that is in our hearts. He knows all that is in our thoughts, our most intimate thoughts. He knows. He is, what the Bible says, is El Roy, the one who sees. He sees it all in us. David wrote Psalm 139, verse 1 and 2. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You searched me out and you know me. You know when I sit down, when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. And here, in the preaching of the Word of God, Jesus knows your hearts. His Spirit searches your hearts to know the measure of faith that you have. What kind of faith do you have? He knows it more than you. He knows what is lacking in you. How does Jesus then come to you as he spoke to his disciples in that boat? Where is your faith? What is he trying to do in saying that? He's wanting their faith to be strengthened. There's something lacking in your faith. He was there to strengthen their faith as they saw him as the one who knows them. And it was to strengthen and who could strengthen their faith. How does he do that? How does Jesus do that with us? He will do it in many different ways, but he will do it at times through storms, trials, testing of our faith. Where there is a lacking in our faith, he wants to perfect our faith. And so he will bring the storms. And in doing so, he doesn't want to only draw out faith and strengthen and build faith in us, but he also wants us to see him in his greatness. So it's not only to bring us from fear, out of fear to faith, but also with another kind of fear, a very different kind of fear, a fear of awe, of reverence, of amazement in how great he is, to display his greatness, his power to save, and his care for us in every storm. There's a place in Florida that when the hurricanes come, the meteorologists will go and hide. And it is like a bunker. It's the National Hurricane Center in Miami. Long ago, they spent $5 million on this structure. It has 10-inch concrete walls designed to withstand the force of over 200-kilometer winds. While others have fled, they remain to measure the strength of this storm. But inside that center provides a safe refuge for them, and also sending out warnings of this weather. God has given us a place for us to find refuge, safety, and that is in His Son. In the midst of the storm, where we trust in Him. Nahum chapter 1, verse 7 says, "The Lord is God, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those who trust in Him." In that place of refuge, He knows those who are trusting in Him. Those who confidently say with the psalmist in Psalm 46 that God is our refuge and our strength. He's a very present help in our distress. Therefore, we will not fear. Imagine the psalmist here speaking of cataclysmic disaster on earth. Even though the earth give way, the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling, he says, I will not fear. I will not fear because the God of Jacob is with me, a very present help. And in that place, he is there. So whether it is the smallest of storms, the worst of storms, he is a present help in our distress. And when we trust in him, we can be still. Even in that same psalm, it ends saying, be still and know that he is God. Know that he is God, that he is God with us. Know that he is God who is for us in his power. And know that he is God who knows us. Who is this man, Jesus? He's God. God. In the boat with you in the storm. God who is mighty to save. And as the psalmist ends in Psalm 46, he's in awe of God. He said, let him be exalted. He will be exalted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.